every time that we kick off a project with CRO, we try to invite all of the stakeholders, and we're like, all of your executives, all of your directors, anyone who's just interested and just want to sit on the call, like a fly on the wall, and they don't necessarily need to be involved, but they can just listen and watch. And usually within, you know, 2-3 hours, just a couple of calls, they get so much understanding and sense of how we do things. There's a lot of, you know, explaining the process and kind of showing every single bit and part, well, how they tie together and everything is connected. And by doing that with them, it just really shows the level of sophistication, the thought process.
Hi, everybody. This is Khalil Gulivala speaking from Experiment Nation's podcast. We're here trying to talk to the most interesting CRO experts in the world to give you the latest insights and knowledge of which they've built up. And today with us, I'm proud to announce, we have Simon Girardin, an amazing CRO expert. If you've been following him on LinkedIn, you know he's talking every day about the agency side of things, the client side of things, sharing trends and insights. Simon, please, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Khalil, thank you. It's so good to be here. I'm super excited to talk about our topic that we have on hand, and really excited also to share, you know, expertise with this amazing field and community that we have. And hope, you know, like my kind of general hope is that some of the information and thoughts that are shared now are helpful, as they would have been for me when I got started.
Yeah. So Simon, what I love is, for those people who haven't yet been introduced to you, could you briefly talk about sort of like what your focus is right now and where you're at?
Sure thing. So right now I'm a CRO manager at Conversion Advocate. Basically I manage CRO programs for startups that are trying to grow really quickly and aggressively. And so we set up their experimentation programs. We generally will run somewhere between, you know, 12 to 15 tests per quarter with them. And on top of that, we run, you know, around 8 to 10 different research methods. And we try to collect all of those insights, activate them, and create this sort of flywheel inside of company. And then we try to expand that by sharing with stakeholders and creating a lot of, you know, not only buy-in, but excitement, and, you know, kind of bring everyone up to speed with the fun and the value that comes with CRO. Before that, I worked 2 years in an agency delivering, you know, what seemed like CRO at the time, but what I would right now call what more likely like tactical CRO. And basically, like, we would only do some parts of the full width of CRO. So for example, some client projects would be like setting up a landing page. Or another client project could be like, hey, let's do a site audit based like on expert analysis and nothing more. And so what that led me to kind of realize is that 2 years after working in that agency, I realized I have nothing to show for. As an expert, like, I'm not able to showcase my work because other projects were so short term that there was nothing really that was built up as part of the project. And another aspect where results were often difficult to track, because if clients don't stay long with you, then you don't get the time to report on those results and review what you achieved. And then another aspect is that most of them never implemented the recommendations. So then you kind of deliver a report that gets shelved on the table, and it's not a feeling of satisfaction, you know, as your work kind of never sees light of day. So that kind of really led me into this thought process of what can I do and what can be done to kind of step out this kind of challenging situation. And I was just thinking, you know, my clients on the other side of what we achieved together, they must not feel satisfied either, because there's like an aspect of they paid for some work, but then they kind of, they're missing the final step that make it so that this work actually has value.
Yeah. You know, there's so much to unpack there. I think part of what's amazing is the fact that, you know, you've got this CRO experience, you work at different agencies, you're working with different kinds of clients. I think maybe something that would be of immense interest to people listening is if you can talk a bit more about that client relationship, because CRO itself is sort of a new field. We're talking about a different way. Can you talk about how that sort of internal process where you're kind of walking with stakeholders, almost kind of, like you said, kind of distinguish between tactical and strategic CRO? So can you kind of walk us through the process of you know, taking a client where they're kind of interested in CRO to a point where they're working with you on a campaign or working on a project?
Yeah, I love this question. And I'll try to answer it with like both angles of, on my side as the practitioner, what I see and what I want. And then what I believe on the client side is what's ideal. And so back to my backstory, you know, kind of the initial client projects I had in my first 2 years in experimentation, well, tactical CRO, as I rather call it, is I realized I would work with, you know, either middle managers or like just kind of people who were pretty much at the same level as I was in the company. And the challenge that came with that is these guys, they had other stakeholders who actually were the decision makers in the company. So even if you're working on a small project and it's isolated for just one page on the site, you know, if you don't have the actual decision maker for that specific page, then that was the situation I was in all the time. What would happen? You know, I would come in with my recommendations, and as a practitioner, you build a story or you try to have this cohesive narrative. And what I realized is as I ran my clients through that, they were bought in, they were excited, but then they were not the decision makers. So they would go to their higher up and then redo the pitch, if you want. But the issue is they wouldn't deliver it the same as I did, and they don't have all the background that I have. So what that led to cause is first really, really extended lags in periods of time that you're not getting approvals and things are just kind of floating and you're not sure what the state is. And then you can't push too hard because then you don't know how many, you know, levels of stakeholders are involved in the decision on the client side. But as a practitioner, I was removed from that process, and it was a real challenge. On the other side, for my clients, they must have felt frustrated, you know, because we're on the call, we're talking about what we want to achieve, but then they're not able to move anything forward. They have to go to their higher ups who are busy, don't necessarily want to spend that time kind of getting a very quick brief for something that deserves, you know, a bigger kind of explanation. And that would lead, I would expect, you know, to some friction internally, because not everyone has been informed of their involvement that was required, but then it requires more time of them. So that really caused, as a kind of general reaction to all of this, really, really slow progress in the projects. People would lose interest. They would kind of start realizing that, well, you know, I think CRO is not for me. And the reality is the challenge was we just weren't all the right people sitting at a table together for the conversation.
And so I can imagine as well, like you mentioned, how, you know, it's not always at the very start, not all the right people were part of that conversation. But I can also imagine there's a point where, for example, like you said, the people who are sort of the managers who are interested in CRO, they may understand it already, but it could be maybe more senior executives may not truly understand what CRO is. So I'd love to hear you kind of walk through maybe situations where you had to take someone who was maybe say skeptical about CRO at that executive level and try to kind of get them on board. What's your process like on that?
Right, great question. So if today you take what I do in my day-to-day work, every time that we kick off a project with CRO, we try to invite all of the stakeholders, and we're like, all of your executives, all of your directors, anyone who's just interested and just want to sit on the call, like a fly on the wall, and they don't necessarily need to be involved, but they can just listen and watch. And usually within, you know, 2-3 hours, just a couple of calls, they get so much understanding and sense of how we do things. There's a lot of, you know, explaining the process and kind of showing every single bit and part, well, how they tie together and everything is connected. And by doing that with them, it just really shows the level of sophistication that the thought process. It shows, you know, that there's an aspect that is strategy, but there's another aspect that's like structuring elements and creating just a sense toward through documentation and through following steps that make it easy for everyone. And so we try to invite them, and we tell them, you know, sometimes you don't need to be involved in a project. And if you're skeptical, just come in on a couple of calls and listen to us. You're even welcome to ask questions, challenge us. This is a very open conversation that we have with experimentation in CRO. There's a lot of, it's very exploratory in nature. Like we try to innovate, we try to validate ideas or challenge assumptions. So there's definitely an aspect of everyone is open-minded and willing to kind of explore entirely new ideas. So by having them just for a couple hours, it usually gives them a really good understanding of like what is being done, what is the input, what are all the inputs, and what are all the outputs. And it's not just like test results. Then when we're done with a test, there's so much more that happens. And so that really helps, you know, show them that it's a lot more than tactical. Show them that if you only think of CRO as a marketing thing, then most of the time you miss a bit of something. And so what we'll try to do with these stakeholders to kind of wrap this loop is prompt everyone on the team at different times. So for example, you have customer success representatives on the call, then you prompt them for some specific questions. And I just had an example last week with a client. I prompted, you know, the CMO and the chief of CS. And we found out that both of them have the same insight, but from an entirely different perspective. And we just uncovered something that could be, you know, a new positioning angle that we'd never thought of because we never connected those dots together. So when we do that, then the skepticism starts to really kind of move away, because they realize that, okay, this team, you know, is set up with a clear process. They communicate proactively and efficiently, but then they also know how to kind of unlock knowledge and insights that we already own and that we just didn't know.
And it's fascinating what you're saying, is that, you know, that the CRO isn't just a marketing tool, isn't just for the market, but in some sense it's for all departments. Could you talk a little bit about that? You know, like for example, like in something like in terms of conversations, how do you get an organization to kind of think beyond CRO as just marketing, but really as maybe a layer across the organization?
That's a tough question, because I think the core answer to that, it has to come from the team, from the company. And so based on how the interest in CRO spark, you have to start from there. So if only one team really kind of is bought in into the process, sometimes it's just better that you start with them. And these guys, they have, you know, all the momentum already, so they can build a proof of concept for the rest of the team and company. But if you have interest from multiple stakeholders, even if it's just varying levels, it's enough to say, hey, let's get everyone on board. And most of the time, you know, you'll have quite a few different stakeholders who aren't marketing. A lot of websites now have product managers, and these guys are super important. They own their product. They know how it works. When we, you know, as a strategist, when I come up with a test plan, one of the key things that I need to do when I present it to my clients, and here's like the slide and all the details that I want to test. One of the key things is, are there any roadblocks that we foresee? And are there any kind of technical challenge or considerations that we need to have? If I don't have a product manager on the call, but this person is responsible for that page, then we might miss out on a lot of value, because that person could be able to tell us, hey, make sure you watch out for this or that, or there's a loop here that you could use, or we have this other tool that you can access via that whatever, that other thing. But then, because we do that early on at the test plan approval stage, then the brief that is sent to the implementation team is already complete and includes those considerations. If you don't have that, then that means your entire team works on the test. And when you're ready to push it live and you run into QA and final approval stages, that's when you realize that maybe you have some mistakes or some potential issues that arise. So that's just one example for a stakeholder that you want them to be a part of the project. So you could say, hey, if we don't do calls, they're not involved. If we do calls, maybe they don't attend every time. The reality is, the more involved they are, first, the more they're able to preempt all of those issues. But second, they also build up their own excitement, and they start realizing, hey, there's this and that other thing that I want to test. And you share that insight that really kind of piqued my curiosity. Can we try and activate it into what it's going to lead us to? So these stakeholders, they all have their parts, and customer service is important, for example, because some tests, we're going to remove a feature, you know, or hide it. But sometimes they're going to tell us. Every time something happens, like a bug or an issue on our site, customers are frustrated. So if we know that at the test plan approval stage, then you're able to build up some internal processes and inform the team that they might be receiving a lot more pings from customers, because half of our audience is getting served with a variant that's missing the feature they like. So all of these considerations, the earlier they happen in the process, the more efficiency we develop, and the faster we test, the less frustration happens in between both teams, and it just builds up excitement for everyone.
Yeah, you know, it sounds fascinating, because I think what you're pointing to is the fact that not only is there an element of maybe almost like evangelizing CRO, but there's a huge element of organizational culture to make sure that it's sort of absorbed and it almost becomes a part of the organization's DNA itself. Like, I think one of the things you mentioned previously is the fact that sometimes even with these CRO tests, experiments, there's also a question of the time factor. Like, does you need to have some amount of time to be able to report on it? So can you talk a little bit more along those lines? For example, when you're working with clients, you know, there's sort of the time element you've mentioned, you know, staffing element and awareness. Are there other factors within an organization or that could impact how experiments are run within it?
Oof, well, that's a lot to unpack. And kind of just let me wrap up your comment here by saying, our promise and what we strive to achieve is provide team enablement and training to our clients. So basically, if you work with us for 90 days, which is usually our starting period, 3 months is kind of ideal for us to have the time to set up the process and build up the momentum. But it's also within those 3 months, if you work with us, then you're all set up. You have all the tools, You have all the knowledge, and we've explained every single aspect of what we do. So you're able to take everything and do it yourself. Most of the time, clients don't have the time and resources to do that. But that's kind of our commitment. And what it does is it just really elevates the program towards the level where we talk at our clients to now we talk together. And it's more of a conversation and exchange. And, you know, we are strategically leading, but it's not anymore just a matter of we tell them what to do. It's also a matter of like they understand, they're able to share their input, and there's a real kind of collaboration that's going on. Yeah. So back to your question, it's really, really hard to unpack because there's so much and each company and website is so different. So what I'll say is what we do to make sure that once we kick off the program and it starts, we're able to launch tests really quickly, and we just want to ramp up velocity, and we want all the roadblocks and issues to be identified really early on or before the project. So before the project, this part is important. So what we'll do is we'll run some stakeholder interviews. We'll ask them some technical questions about the website, its build, the team, you know, questions like that. We try to understand what are the elements that we can work on and modify and edit, and what are elements that we cannot touch, because that's super important in us knowing to what degree do we have flexibility in testing. Then we also prompt them in our stakeholder interviews on a bunch of analytics questions. How are your tools set up? What are the goals that you are tracking? Are you confident in them? Most of the times, you know, teams have different monitoring and reporting platforms. So if you have Google Optimize, then you have Google Analytics, and you have Amplitude, for example. Those tools don't all report the same data, and they have attribution that's different. So we also try to understand what is your source of truth internally, because we're going to use that as well. It's important that we align on using the same metrics, the same data, because if we report on a goal that clients feel is deprecated or you know, not accurate anymore, then it's we're not reporting on something relevant to them. So we create all this alignment before we start the project. If we identify any sort of roadblocks or issues or things that would slow down testing, then we try to solve it immediately. Another aspect of it is you never can fully preempt all of the issues. You're definitely going to meet some of them. And most client projects, you know, there are some early bumps in the road. But our kind of approach is testing as fast as possible. So usually within the first 2 weeks, a first test that is simple, low level of effort, you know, sometimes it's a copy change or a headline. And we try to make it strategic, but the importance here is that it's a very light dev work. So that allows us, you know, to get a feel and understand what website we're working on. Our developers are not touching any sort of important features. We're not launching something entirely new. So that allows us to gain kind of competency before we dive into these more complex tests. But then sometimes, you know, bumps happen. But the earlier they happen, the more excitement and build up is still happening in the hearts of everyone. So then we're able to quickly circumvent that. And if your team is effective at fixing those things rapidly, then you just build these added layers of trust with your client team.
Yeah. Now, that's I think what I love about the way you're kind of breaking it down is there's an element of strategy, which almost like at the very start, you're kind of leading as an agency, but over time, you're kind of educating your clients to come on board. But it's also this whole element of execution, where you're trying to find something where the organization can actually execute, something that's going to make sense within its own dashboard, not something that's living in a silo, but really something in which the organization ends up owning and controlling and being a part of. One thing that you mentioned, Simon, that I would love for you to dig a little bit more, is sort of that difference between sort of the tactical CRO, which I think is very landing page focused, versus let's call it the more strategic CRO. Could you give them more, and in some sense also maybe talk about how you came across that division for yourself?
Yeah, so back to what I was saying when we started this discussion is, after 2 years working in a CRO agency, I realized I don't have anything to show for it. I don't have any sort of case study. And I would think back to the work I did, and I'm like, okay, this project, you know, that project. I realized I don't feel confident showcasing any of that work for all of the reasons that we talked about before. So the realization was there's a couple things that kind of, as a practitioner, I need to be able to elevate my career. And I'm going to talk about the client side in a minute. So for me as a practitioner, it's like I need to be able to do some work and then have results to report on and kind of review my performance. Because there's no guarantee that my work creates better experiences than whatever was a baseline before. That was a huge issue that I rarely had the opportunity of reviewing a couple of months in, how my work impacted the overall performance of the site. Then another aspect was, these projects were short term. And so you kind of, there's another inefficiency, because if you have multiple short term projects, then what that does is you constantly start again from scratch, rebuild competencies, understand the industry, understand the client team and how we should best communicate, and everyone has different preferences. All of that just created, it actually not created, but it kind of dialed down any sort of excitement coming from me, as it's just like you feel like you're out of breath starting all these new projects one at a time. But then there's also an aspect of these short-term projects are most often caused by reaction. So it's not like we want to be strategic and have something different, new and better, but it's more like these clients would come in and say, our paid advertising is not performing well. We need something to fix it. And they would use CRO as that solution. So now the issue is that because they feel on a time crunch, because the project is on a short term, there's a lot of pressure. But if you have a lot of pressure and little time to deliver, then what you end up doing is you just feel like a firefighter and you're just like doing stuff, building stuff, and you don't feel like you're kind of planning and preparing and kind of building a strategy. So all of that for me as a practitioner were all things that made me raise flags and think I need to change, and I want to step in into something that's more strategic and kind of thoughtful. For the client side, I think there's a lot of issues with doing this tactical CRO, and there's a couple of different definitions. So first, there's what I mentioned here, which was like, we would either build a landing page or do a site audit. The issue with that is those are components of the full CRO, but they're just elements of it. So if you just run them, then you really are far from getting full value from CRO. Other kind of parts or other definitions of tactical CRO is some agencies and consultants run tests, but there's no like, there's nothing that connects to that. There's no conducive cylinder, you know, and they just kind of ship tests and build tests, but there's no strategy. And if you kind of zoom out over 10 tests or 20 tests, you can't understand really like, what's our intent and where are we going? And that's a real issue. So for all that is tactical, the challenge is it's a part of CRO, but not the full entirety of CRO. And so how I define it is it's a comprehensive process. There's an aspect of conducting research and matching what we're searching for to specific questions that we have and kind of insights that we're lacking or assumptions that we have that we want to verify. There's an aspect of testing that's iterative. It's important because if you run a test and it loses, if you stop them and lose interest, then you've missed a point. A test loss has some potential to create a win if you are able to iterate on it and find different implementations. And you know, sometimes you have the right research point, you have the correct hypothesis, and you still fail with your test. But if you give up, then you've missed the value of your hypothesis in your research, so you should just continue. And then all of this is tied in together with communication, you know, documentation, and creating an aspect of everything that we do in the program is accessible to anyone. And anyone in the business could just come into our folders and find out what we've been doing and building. So that's really how I would separate the two things. It's tactical CRO. These are components of the full process. When you should kind of realize that you're not doing the strategic thing is if there's no process that links things together, or if there's just like tactics or initiatives and just isolated, then it's really, you're missing the biggest value from CRO of connecting the dots and kind of having this flywheel that builds up over time.
Yeah. You know, what I love is your response. It kind of dovetails into my next question, which was, you know, the fact that if you're a client, you know, and you're looking for agencies, how do you distinguish between the ones who are, let's say, exclusively focused on tactical CRO versus strategic CRO? I know you've answered this, but are you comfortable taking that answer, kind of flipping it the other way to say, if you're an agency, if you're a client, how what kind of questions should you be asking an agency to understand how competent they are in CRO?
Yeah. So one of the key things is you want to move fast and you want to be agile and you want to build up velocity with a program. So the first thing is you want to understand how is a test built. Explain to me two different things. Is one, what is the kind of strategic work that goes behind creating a test? You know, for us, there's something like three or four steps that goes before we even build up a test plan. So it's important, like creating our research deliverables, curating the insights, and then understanding how we can tie different insights that exist. You know, like you are most always have analytics data that somewhere explain that either we have low performance or a lot of upside potential compared to other pages, or there's something most of the time with analytics. Then you tie it to some other research, you know, qualitative feedback, a bit of UX research. Then you're building a story. People are just having this and that issue, and it causes this and that in performance. So then the next step is we prioritize that. We have many, many, many hypotheses and data points. We can't test all of that. Then there's an aspect of prioritization. And, you know, there of course exist charts that you can kind of document your ideas, but that's not the only component of prioritization. For example, if we're running test A and we have test B that's being even higher, has a better rating on the chart. So you're thinking, I'm going to run test B afterwards. But when test A ends, there's a good reason for you to iterate on it if you don't get a result that's satisfying enough to stop working on the hypothesis. The reason is you've built the experiment before. If you iterate on it, most likely you're going to reuse some components, so you gain efficiency. So now, even if test B has a better rating, test A makes sense that you do A too now, because maybe it's going to take, you know, half as much time. So then when you think through in the long term, that means you could also build A3 for the same amount of effort that B would require. Well, that's one part of it. Then that's just like, how do we build a test plan? Another aspect is like, what do we do with test results and what happens then? One of my favorite phrases is, when I have a test win, what I want to do is take the insights from that win and turn it into 10 more hypotheses. So that's not only like we've won and we've generated revenue and that's all good and fine. And, you know, we do what we call a victory lap and we celebrate the win with our clients and we kind of really raise the awareness around what value it creates. And we try to be really conservative, but talk through the revenue numbers and how they impact ROI for the project. But then we quickly move on to the actual kind of strategic workflow of we've learned something and we've validated something with positive results. What do we do next? I mean, that's exciting. What's the next step? And there's possibly other tests. And sometimes, you know, we can apply those insights to more tests on the page. We can also apply all those insights to other pages and start testing at different places and leveraging the win and kind of creating this exponential value from spreading it and expanding towards everything everywhere else that we can. So those are good questions because always a test plan created. That, then you see if there's strategy behind it. Then test results. What happens with a win? What happens with a loss? All of those things really help kind of build the understanding of this is a flywheel and a program that constantly builds over what already existed and it's never ending. And then I would say the third aspect is how are things structured and documented and how do the workflow happen? One of the big issue for a lot of client teams is they don't get support in development. They don't have support in design, or sometimes they have their teams, but they're backlogged already. If you start implementing CRO through these teams, the challenge is you really extend your timelines because these teams work on 2 week sprints. So your test going into design is going to require 2 weeks. Then going into dev will require 2 more weeks. So this really, really extends the total timeline. So is your agency able to provide creative work? Are they able to provide the copy? Are they able to provide the development? Most of the time we need approvals or we have questions, but it's really different asking something than telling you, hey, let your team build it internally and kind of manage those resources. And then there's the whole aspect of who's the program manager? How will they communicate with the client team? And how can we make sure that we create alignment that we involve all the required people? And sometimes there's someone we just have one thing that we need from them. Who's going to manage that? Who's going to be leading the discussion? So let me summarize this answer in three key components. Is one, what goes behind the test plan creation? Where's the strategy? Second is what happens when a test is done? What do we do with the results? And what are the next steps? How do we kind of tie that into the process? And you can just see with these two steps how step two could feed directly into step one. And finally is how is everything connected in terms of communication? And how do we discuss all of the aspects of the program to create this team enablement, create this excitement and buy-in, and just build up this overall competency on your side for your project as a client, so that your team becomes enabled to participate and chime in and add extra value, because the more you have varied individuals that contribute to a program, then the more value you create, because their unique perspectives add new ideas and new kind of possibilities.
Yeah. Simon, thank you so much for the insight, because I know a lot of clients either would want to understand how to, on one hand, it's like you said, it's walking that journey of, you know, almost, you know, from hiring a CRO agency, the kind of questions to ask, how to work with them. So it's absolutely brilliant. So much insights here. I think, you know, I think what maybe listeners would love to hear is that you know, if they want to follow you, if they want to learn from you, what's the best way they can keep up to date with the ideas and what you're doing?
Yeah, sure thing. There's only one place to follow me, and it's on LinkedIn. I post there daily at around 9:30 a.m. East, basically sharing ideas. I'll share case studies. I'll also share challenging conversations that I have and kind of what are the insights. And my intent is two things, you know, kind of shake things up a little bit and kind of create difficult conversations in the field, so that we're able to ask ourselves, you know, the tough questions, but then feel confident in our own personal answers. The second thing is I want to give actionable insights. And so I will be very direct in giving case studies and explaining how the experiment was built, or I will share exactly like how we have specific conversations about how solving a business issue through testing and CRO. Or I can also even give, you know, clear directions on how to build up research, or how to do some small components of CRO by yourself. Because as I said, technical CRO is really not the full value. But if you have to start somewhere, starting by doing some of these tactical things can be a great entry point.
Great. Thank you so much, Simon. It's been a pleasure having you today.
Absolutely. That was so great, Khalil. Thank you very much.
Thank you.